This is Sophia.
And I'm Victoria.
You're listening to It's All History to Me, Auburn's History Radio Hour at 8 a.m. on Thursdays. Each week, we will interview a history professional with the theme of bridging the past and present.
Let's get started.
I am in a conventional dither with a conventional star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy.
Hello, and welcome back to It's All History to Me. If you've never heard of us before and you're just tuning in to the Weagle Celebration, we are Weagle's History Radio Hour. We typically record at 8 a.m. on Thursdays, and we turn our radio show into a podcast afterwards. But today, we thought we'd do a little something special and have an exciting bonus episode lined up for you this week to celebrate Weagle Day, which is our college radio station's annual celebration in honor of the anniversary of Weagle's founding. To commemorate this occasion, every year the Weagle DJ and production team come together to run 24 straight hours of on-air broadcasting, hosting special shows nonstop all day. Our loyal listener may remember last year when we collaborated with two of our fellow Weagle DJs to share about our favorite moments in music history. This year, we are thrilled to be welcoming several of Weagle's most notable and loyal alumni who helped pioneer the station into the amazing outlet for creativity and innovation that it is today and has been for the last 53 years. We think each of these alumni have some great stories to share in helping us bridge Weagle's past to the present state of our radio station, going along with our theme this semester of bridging the past and present. Before we get to talking with the history makers themselves, here is a brief overview of Weagle's past. 6 years after work began on the proposal for an Auburn student radio station in 1969, through the efforts of Chris Yoltz and his SGA officer position, Weagle signed on to the air for the first time from the Haley Center on April 25th, 1971, with the help of engineer Bob Ware from the International Educational Television Group at Auburn. Weagle remained at broadcasting with 10 watts of power from the Haley Center for nearly 20 years until 1988, when the station power was upgraded to 3,000 watts. This upgrade officially made Weagle a non-commercial radio station. Soon thereafter, the Weagle station was moved to the Foy Student Union next to the other major student organizations. Finally, in 2008, the Weagle 91.1 FM station moved to the Harold D. Melton Student Center in a suite next to the other student media organizations, where it continues to broadcast today. So we're very happy to be a part of this really long and wonderful history, and we're really grateful for this opportunity to talk with some of the alumni today and continue to make history here at Weagle.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great opportunity to get to be a part of the Weagle family for the past year, so this is the perfect way to get to celebrate all that we as a podcast have gotten to accomplish, a radio hour have gotten to accomplish, and all that Weagle has accomplished in the past 53 years, which is just amazing that we're really part of such a rich campus history and something that's so important to the student media side of Auburn University.
Yeah, I was just thinking the other day, like, it's so interesting how many of the, like, organizations here at Auburn are somehow, like, very young, but also, like, very old at the same time.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I think, like, some of the older ones are, like, the ROTC program, obviously, and, like, the band. But, like, this feels, like, newer in Auburn history, but still is such a mainstay. And I truly can't imagine Auburn without Weagle and its DJs and other student media organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And neat that hopefully in just a couple minutes here, we'll get to talk to the history makers themselves about the work that they did. It was super fun. Weagle posted in celebration of the station's 53rd anniversary, some throwback pictures. And it's definitely neat to see how much, like, technology-wise as well, that just like you're saying, it's a newer piece of Auburn's history, but it's evolved multiple times in its 53 years so far, from being a predominantly record-spinning and CD-spinning station into something that is now, I guess, almost all digital. We have a couple of shows that are spinning vinyl still, but predominantly our DJs come in and download songs and use that. So it's definitely neat to know that that's evolved as well, and crazy to think what will happen in the next 53 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were during a Weagle meeting the other day, they mentioned, like, it's difficult to explain if you've never been in the studio before, but there's, like, this large board in front of me. And this is, like, a fairly recent board. I think it's only been in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And, like, very, like, grateful for this board because it makes running the show, like, so easy. Like, when I say that I run the show, a lot of people think that it requires a lot of work, but I'm just over here, like, pressing a couple buttons, and that's really it. And so it's interesting to think about, like, what did the show look like running, you know, 53 years ago when it started.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And to know that it used to be in the Haley Center, which is a building on campus here that's still standing. So it's definitely one of our, I guess, most historic buildings on campus as far as, like, recent history, not overall, but it's a mainstay on campus as well. So that we've moved from there to the Student Center into this great space is definitely an exciting evolution, too.
Yeah, I'm just grateful that we're not in the Haley Center anymore.
yeah, that would be a very different experience, that's for sure.
Very. Love the Haley Center, but it's rough to have class in there some days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, what has been your favorite part of being a Weagle DJ over the past year?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Ah. Well, I feel like, to me, it's multiple different realms of that involvement has really made an impact on me. First, of course, with the content that we get to create with historians from across campus, but also across the state, and we've also had one from Tennessee now, too, so across the country, or I guess Southeast region, has been really neat and awesome to get to make those connections and learn more about what history professionals do. So from that standpoint, the show has been amazing and kind of opening my eyes to all the possibilities that are out there. But then also just being a part of the Weagle community and family of DJs is definitely a really amazing privilege, and I'm super grateful for that, and just getting to know everybody and all the people that work so hard to keep this radio station top-notch and producing content for our listeners is just amazing, and knowing how much Auburn really prides itself in having that student radio station is something that I'm really honored to get to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. Weagle has made starting our podcast really amazing, and they've shown us a lot of support. We recently got to go to the Alabama Historical Association conference, and once we kind of posted about it, they reposted us and were just gushing about how, like, wonderful of an opportunity that was. And we're just very grateful for that support and being able to do a podcast in such an easy manner where it requires, like, very minimal editing, very minimal, like, running the board, but also, like, getting to double as, like, a recording, but also getting to talk at large on air to the Auburn community.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. And what an amazing thing to get to realize that those professional development opportunities only came because of our involvement with Weagle. So with that, we are getting ready to welcome our first guest here on air, our first of three Weagle alumni. Our first guest this morning is... Good morning. Can you hear us?
I can.
Oh, amazing. And we can hear you. Welcome back onto the air.
Thank you very much. How are things in Auburn, Alabama?
Going well, yeah. Enjoying the Weagle Day celebration.
Terrific. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Well, congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. I'm not sure why, but I'll...
Well, it's your work that made this day possible, too.
Well, a whole bunch of people did. So it was a very large group.
We think we might have lost you. Oh, no. Oh, no. It dropped the call. Technology issues here, everybody. So sorry. Fingers crossed. We'll have him back in just a moment. And the person you heard talking just a moment ago was Mr. Don. Yes, and he was one of those Weagle pioneers from our early era here at Weagle. And so we're hoping to get to ask him a couple more questions about the history that he got to help make as part of Weagle during his time here as a student at Auburn. There we go. He's back.
You're back on air.
Fantastic. Good deal.
So sorry about that.
That's okay. You know, sometimes the best of intentions get mangled with technology. So not to worry.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, would you mind introducing yourself for our listeners and what of you course. Got involved in as part of Weagle when you were a student?
Of course. My name is Don Mosley. I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama. I enrolled in Auburn in 1969, and I was not a part of the very beginning of the station, which was in the spring of 1971. But in the fall of 1971, I had declared my major to be communication, and there was a small article in the Plainsman saying people at WEGL, the new campus radio station, were looking for disc jockeys and people who wanted to do anything with a radio station. So one of my roommates and I went over and went to an introductory session. They said, well, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do at that point. They said, well, we really don't have any spots for DJs, but we do have spots if you want to read the news. And so I raised my hand and I said, yes, I'll read the news. And so within a matter of weeks, I was on the air. That would be the fall of 1971. And in the fall of the year, fall quarter, winter quarter, spring quarter, 72, 73, I was the news director.
How cool.
Well, it was cool. It was a great time. It was fun, exciting. We learned a lot. And we had a lot of good time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it was amazing, and I hope it still is for you guys as well.
Yeah, I definitely say so. Oh, that's so cool. Do you have a favorite memory or a special story from your time of broadcasting the news here on Weagle that you want to share?
I'll give you two very brief ones. One kind of more newsy than the other. I was the only person in the newsroom on May 15th, 1972, when George Wallace, who was then governor of Alabama, was shot while he was campaigning for president. He was shot in Laurel, Maryland. And we went on the air, and I think we actually, for a college radio station, did a really fine job. We had limited resources, but people started coming in, and we did the best we could with the knowledge that we had and the technology that we had at that time, which was basically making phone calls, taping interviews, and trying to get as much information out to students, to faculty, and whomever was listening on our little 10-watt radio station. So that's one. The second other one was when Muhammad Ali came to campus. And as the news director, I got to introduce him at a press conference. His handlers told me specifically he starts at 5 and he has to be off at 5:30. I did the introduction at 5. At 5:28, I walked up next to him and I said, kind of brazenly, we have time for one more question, at which point he looked down at me and he yelled, boy, don't you ever tell me how much time I have. He picked me up by the lapels of my coat, took me off stage. I was scared out of my mind. I had no idea what I had done. He set me down. He put me down. He smiled. He kind of patted me on the chest and asked if I was all right, and I muttered something totally unintelligible. He went back out, took about two or three more questions, and ended. So those are my two biggest and fondest memories of being on air there.
Wow. Those are great stories.
Thank you. I think so too.
Yeah.
And one of the great things is I didn't realize it until many, many, many years later that pictures existed of that. And I think you can find some of the photos there around there. But somebody sent me photos. It's a three still photos, and I have them framed, and it's a really great reminder of that event.
That's an awesome memento.
It is.
We have one more question for you before we take an ad break, and that is, what advice do you have for current and future Weagle DJs?
I think, number one, have fun. I think, number two, if you are going into the business, which some do, some don't, I think probably more don't, but if you are, use it as a training ground to perfect your craft. There were a good number of us who started... who were there in the early days, at the beginning and the early days of Weagle, who went on to do broadcast-type jobs. And for us, it was an invaluable training exercise, lessons every day. So if you want to go into this business, use your time wisely. But but always have fun, because that's what you're there to have fun, help the students, inform the students, entertain the students.
Yeah, yeah, great advice.
Cool.
All right, we're going to take our first ad break of the hour, but we'll see you in 2 minutes.
You bet. I'll be right here.
Good morning, and welcome back to our special Weagle Day edition of It's All History to Me. This morning, Sophia and I have been joined by a Mr. Don Mosley, who is a Weagle alumni, and he's been sharing some fun stories about his experience on air.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so for our next question for you, let's see. About how many other DJs were a part of Weagle when you were involved?
Oh, gosh. We signed on at 6 in the morning and signed off at midnight.
Wow.
And I think most of the shifts were probably 2 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Maybe so maybe a dozen during the day. But over the weekend, you would add for Saturday and Sunday. So, but primarily, there were 10 or 12. And then when we didn't have DJs, we would run what was called Hal the Computer. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey, but it was a big movie back then. And so the DJ left radio part of it became Hal the Computer.
That's crazy.
It was, well, we, you know, maybe it is crazy. I think it was our kind of thought of being a little bit avant-garde, maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. As part of us being on air, we have to play, like, these PSAs every 15 minutes, and we like to joke about, like, what, like, some of the crazy parts of them can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, favorite PSAs that you remember playing as part of being on Weagle?
No, I don't. I don't have any favorite PSAs that I remember, but I do know that Jimmy Carter, who was a music director at the time, did a station ID, and he used music from Jesus Christ Superstar, musical intro there, and the tagline was WEGL, your superstation. But we were 10 watts, so, you know, if we got out to the interstate in coverage area, that was pretty remarkable. So I think it was a pretty big stretch to call us a superstation, but we kind of reveled in it anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Gotta celebrate the wins as you can.
And sell yourself as best you can sometimes.
Yeah. How did your experiences as a part of Weagle prepare you for life after college?
I think greatly. I don't think I would have had the career I have had without what I did at Weagle and in my education at Auburn. I'm really grateful. My degree was in communication, and I had a political science history major. But working there as the news director and as a newscaster really helped form what I would go on to do for my career, the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's such an amazing opportunity that Weagle was able to get you in the door, and all because you saw the right ad in the paper and were able to go to the meeting.
Right. It allowed me to get a job at a television station in Columbus, Georgia, a week after I graduated in 73, which led to a TV station, a job as a reporter in Birmingham and then Nashville, and then on to work in Chicago.
Wow.
Since 1980.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing.
It was great. But, you know, I I credit what I learned there at the radio station, and I really do credit a journalism professor I had by the name of Mr. Logue, who helped instill in me the thing that I carried with me. I'm not sure instill is the right word. The thing that I carry with me, I've carried with me all through my career, and that's to be resourceful. And today, I and my wife co-direct a Center for Journalism, Integrity, and Excellence at DePaul University in Chicago. And, you know, the thing that we tell our students is to be curious and to be resourceful and to try to be confident and brave in what you do. And I think those are the sorts of things I think I took away from my time at Auburn, or began the process of learning how to do that while I was at Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such great points.
Mm-hmm.
One other fun question for you. Did anyone ever recognize you around campus from your voice from Weagle?
I doubt that. I have no idea, and I can't remember. You know, I don't have the greatest broadcast voice, so I don't think so, but maybe. No, I don't think anyone ever came up and said, oh, my gosh, you're Don Mosley. So, that's just fine with me.
Yeah, huh? And then
may I ask you a question?
Oh, of course.
Do people recognize you from your voice?
I've never been, like, recognized from, like, people, like, saying they've, like, heard me on the radio and they recognize me from that. But I think people have said, like, oh, I've heard of your podcast before, and mm-hmm. so on.
Yeah. I've had a couple of people that I knew before, and they were like, oh, I was just tuning into Weagle, and I heard your voice, and that was crazy. So kind of like the reverse direction.
Do you get a kick out of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
Yeah. Huh.
As an alumni, what do you hope the legacy of Weagle is?
I hope the legacy is that it remains a place where people who are interested in going further in this business can come and learn, and it will help inspire them as they go through their career. That's number one. Number two, that it just remains a vital part of student life. That's actually the most important part, I think, because so many more people will not go into the business, but use that to find friends, keep friends, make friends, have friends for the rest of your life. I do. We have a great alumni association of people that I worked with and that we all worked together back in the early 70s. And it's been just a really sweet and wonderful thing to have renewed these friendships after years, which kind of got lost translation through our lives. But to come back and now meet via Zoom, meet periodically in Auburn, talk, I think building those relationships has been a really wonderful part of my life and for their lives as well. And so I hope that that is a part of the legacy for the students now at Weagle.
Yeah, that is so great and definitely so amazing, that community building that Weagle provides both when students are currently here and on the air and afterwards too. And that's so great that the Weagle alumni have gotten together to build something that we'll get to join and be a part of after we graduate too, and hopefully continue that trend of building connections and keeping them strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the great things I think we've been able to accomplish is we have established one scholarship in the name of Renee Brinsfield, who is my best friend, and who is the first station manager at Weagle. And we're in the process of establishing a second scholarship in the name of Chris Yautz, who is a member of the Student Senate, who really was the person responsible for getting the wheels turning and making the radio station a reality. So we have one scholarship now. Within the next year, I think we will have a second. And having that ability to help students along the way is, for us, what it's all about.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. And a great transition, because next up on our list of Weagle alumni guests is going to be Mr. Chris Yautz. So we're excited to have him on next, and so grateful that we got to talk with you this morning.
Great. I love talking to you guys, too. Tell Chris I said hello. and if anybody deserves the accolades, he really does.
Aw, well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Mr. Mosley. We had a great time talking with you.
Please call me Don.
All right, we're going to take an ad break, but we'll see you in 2 minutes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good morning and welcome back in and happy Weagle Day here on WEGL 91.1 FM. Our next guest this morning is one of the great pioneers of our radio station, Mr. Chris Yautz. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thanks for asking me to be a part of this.
Oh, of course. Would you mind introducing yourself for our listeners?
My name is Chris Yautz. I currently live in Seattle, Washington, and was an engineering major at Auburn. I graduated in 71.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you got to do a lot of the work, as we kind of established a little bit here on our sign-in this morning. Well, you did a great majority of that work to get Weagle on campus. So lucky to get to have a conversation with you this morning.
Fine.
So would you mind telling us a little bit more about that story of how you had the idea to get Weagle started and all of that?
Well, sure. Let's stop me when it gets really boring. When I was in engineering school, I think around my sophomore year or so, I was editor of the Auburn Engineer, which was a magazine put out by the School of Engineering. I don't know if it still exists, but the as part of all that, I would visit other schools and we'd have our engineering magazine conventions. You know, they have such things. And where I'd meet with the other editors, we'd exchange jokes and all that kind of thing. But it was through that that they would sometimes talk about their campus radio stations. And I said, that's funny. Why doesn't Auburn have a campus radio station? There's a lot of reasons we should be doing that. And I was active in student government and with what was then known as the Auburn Conference of International Affairs and some other things. And it was always kind of an issue just reaching out only once a week to the student body through the Plainsman. And it's got to be, well, is there another way here in the radio station? So when I came back from one of those trips, I talked to David Hill, who was the student body president then at the SGA. And out of that, we said, we should pursue this. So to give me an official title to do that, I was named the chairman of the presidential task force, which sounds kind of ominous, but I was the only member. And just kind of struck out to see what I could do to get a station going. And being an electrical engineering major, I kind of knew the basics of, you know, we need a transmitter, we need an antenna, some microphones and things like that. We had the advantage back then of Haley Center being recently constructed. And the speech department had set up a practice radio studio. And so it was kind of like, we have this facility, which would always be a concern about expense, but gosh, here's something sitting there with a board on it and, you know, record players and everything else. So that's there. All we need to do is figure out a way to connect that to the world. And so I went to the FCC, started doing research on regulations, talked to the FCC in Atlanta, started going around visiting some stations like the ones in Georgia Tech and some other schools, and just worked away at all that. Started looking, researching equipment and all that, and prepared, I think, about a 20-page recommendation and report about how we could do this at Auburn, which I fortunately, I guess, had the sense to run it by the head of the speech department, the head of the TV people for the engineering side, a couple of other departments at the university and had them all sign off on the proposal, and that it was going to be, you know, a good thing for Auburn, and that the dollars I had outlined, the budgets and all that were feasible. And then that was submitted to Harry Philpott, who was the president of the university. I think the way WEGL works now, that people probably don't realize how controversial the concept was of a radio station on campus during those times. That was a lot of student protests going on and everything else. And the dean of students, Dean Foy, I guess, who has a building named after him now, was very opposed to the radio station. He did not want a radio station on campus. And Dr. Philpott, who was the president, also said, no, I don't think this is going to work. And it would have to be approved by the Board of Trustees. So I got to get Philpott's sort of approval or at least submission to the Board of Trustees. So we kept pressing it. And finally, Philpott agreed to appoint a committee, which included me, Bob Ware from engineering, a couple of faculty people, the former captain of the Auburn football team, of all things, and former Miss Auburn to the committee.
Wow.
And so we met. The football captain never showed up. So he said he was getting adequate advice from Dean Foy as to what to do. So ultimately, the station was approved. The votes against were Dean Foy and the football captain, who again never came to a meeting. But once the concept of a station existing was approved, the main concern I had, the main thing I wanted to do was to make sure it was student-operated. Because even if we got a station, Philpott really wanted the station essentially run by the university. Mm. And so you would have faculty members or, as he said, his person designating how the station would be run and what would happen and content, which was totally unacceptable. And I said, we got to work this so it's like the Plainsman, you know, and is independent and does whatever is appropriate. And so another round of meetings, and that was approved as well. So with that, then the proposal was sent to the Board of Trustees. I ended up doing some negotiations there with people to convince them what a great thing this was, and they approved it. And that took about a year or so of working and just constant pressure on let's make this happen. And then when it was approved, then I had to go out and find the money. And we went to the concession board. They get money from vending machines and stuff to get initial funding and do a bunch of other stuff like that to get the money in. You know, I talked about the board and everything being so great in the practice radio station, but it really was a piece of junk. So it was like a kiddie's training thing or something. You know, like a practice car where the wheels don't really work. So got some more money, spent developing the board, putting in the tape decks and all the other stuff, and getting it organized, and got the application to the FCC. The one thing I did through this was shot after a 10-watt station. People always say 10 watts. Well, the reason for the 10 watts was because the application process for a really low wattage station for educational purposes took much less time than and money and everything else than if we were going to go for a full, you know, 1,000 watts or 3,000 watts or whatever to put it in sort of the higher realm. And we figured out if we put the antenna on top of Haley Center that those little 10 watts would give us a radius of 4 to 5 miles around the city. So we would capture essentially all the student body and then plus some into the town. And again, the idea was get your foot in the door so you can, you know, once the station is running, then we can start doing something to maybe add power more down the road and stuff like that. Also got had a niece. I guess after we got this to that point, I just sent out a request, anybody interested in participating in a radio station, come to this meeting. And so I held the meeting, and there was a group of people, and I think two people, Renee Brinsfield and Jimmy Carter of that group, had radio experience. One other person, Rob Rainey, who is an amazing individual, who's a good friend of Don Mosley, who you just talked with, who became very well-known throughout broadcasting. I had him become our first news director, and I put him to Renee as station manager, temporary station manager. And those two guys also just really jumped in and did, you know, worked hard and carried the equipment around as well as everything else. And so away we went. We submitted our application with all the engineering. I sat down, filled out the application. I think I saw that one of your questions was, how did WEGL get its name? When I was filling out the application, I had four spaces for stations. So I just said, what do I want to do? So the first one I wrote, WEGL. Second one was WRGL, Wargle. and then two others. Yeah, more of a drunken weagle. And then the two others were just sort of random, WAUXB or something like that, with the idea that they would be so terrible that the FCC wouldn't consider them.
Oh, yeah.
And then, we ended up getting WEGL, and what they call a construction permit was approved. Then we got to test the station, and then in April... I actually graduated in March 71, and then in April 71 is when everything was on the air. And just before that, too, we had I was elected to an office in the student body around that time as well. But did some change to what was then the publications board to make it the communications board, which then was the oversight for the station, but it's the same as for the Plainsman. So, again, totally student-run.
Wow.
And that's when Renee was selected as the first, you know, we had applications for station manager. There were three people, Renee being one of them, and Renee the obvious choice. And he continued on, and there was really something about, in any organization, about being the first one in charge. You know, George Washington, the first president, big deal, made a big difference. And the first person, having Renee as the first station manager, was just super, because he was a high-energy guy, wasn't an on-air guy like me. He was, except he had talent. I didn't have any talent anyway to be on air. But he was you couldn't have asked for a better manager, I think, to start this whole process off and go forward. I showed up. There's a picture, I think, as well of Renee handing me a plaque for all this stuff at the opening ceremony. And I started to walk away with the plaque. He took the plaque from me and said they'd hang it up somewhere. A week later, I was off to the Navy. And that's kind of where it ends. And Renee and company just did amazing work going forward, kept me up to date and so on. So anyway, I'm sure a lot more than you want to know, but that's the background.
Oh, no, that's an awesome story. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, you said you graduated in March. Was Auburn on like a quarter system then?
Yes. Yeah, it was on a quarter system, and I had two majors in engineering, electrical and industrial, so I was there a little over 4 years and graduated in March.
Wow. Well, we're just so grateful for all the work that you did to make WEGL happen, and such an amazing process that you went through, and all the steps and people that you had to talk to. Just, yeah, definitely so impressive that you had the conviction to make this station possible, and we're still benefiting from it years later.
Yeah, I also had to cut a few classes too. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, the management of it all, amazing.
Well, the it's funny that the some of my professors begin to wonder if I was still around or something, and then it actually got to the point where the Plainsman ran a little editorial saying Chris cuts, and mentioning that I cut classes quite a bit, saying to the professors that are saying this is really legitimate stuff he's out there trying to do and all this kind of stuff. So I've hidden that editorial from my kids as they grew up because I didn't want them to think that that's a good idea to go around cutting classes to do something. But yeah, it was quite a lot of time. So.
Yeah, yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah. We're going to take an ad break, but we'll see you in 2 minutes.
Okay, fine.
And welcome back to It's All History to Me, Weagles Day Celebration. We're continuing our conversation with Chris Yoltz on his time as part of Weagle. So for our next question, do you still tune in to Weagle 91.1?
I do, although out here in Seattle, it's, I listen to it on the internet. I tend to be classic rock kind of guy, so I look for those stations or those time slots a little more. But and sometimes just to turn it on and just see how's the station doing these days. So yes.
Yeah, yeah, and how cool that you were the visionary for the station. Has it taken, I guess, a pathway that you kind of expected it to as the years have gone on, or do you think that it's taken on a brand new kind of persona?
Well, I think it's evolved. I don't know that, you know, when you look at the technology back in 71, and how technology has changed, and, well, the advent of the internet, you know, just the concept of podcasts, you know, didn't really exist back in 71. So I knew and hoped, actually, that it would be an evolution, that the station would grow and people would learn from the growth. And it's the variety of music that's being played and, you know, shows like this. And my biggest concern, I think, was that I didn't want it to be a station where, like, the Georgia Tech station used to just have a series of cassette tapes with songs, and they just plop them in, play them one after another. Very little commentary. A disc jockey was just someone who plugged in the cassette tapes and didn't have any other, you know, discussions or anything else, because I really wanted, in addition, just to play good music and a variety of music for the station to be interactive with the campus, to be a true part of the student body. That was the main reason, actually, when we got the station going. We knew there'd be lots of music, and that's what people would want to do. But like the story with Don and the interview with Muhammad Ali, there's another story you'll have to get about Rob Rainey and Gloria Steinem, where the girls marched out of the dorms in protest that night because of the radio interview he did. That kind of thing just really made me very grateful for the way the station continued on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's such a great point that you wanted it to be a student-centered entity, and I think I'm definitely excited to say that that's the case still today.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. So your work liaisoning between so many different parties, did that help you after you graduated? Do you think that those were skills that you utilized long after Weagle was created?
I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, after I left Auburn, I went in the Navy where I have nothing to say about anything. Do what I'm told.
Right.
So, but I think the working with groups and all that, that was a process of education as well. When I went to law school after the Navy, and as a lawyer, you know, that kind of thing has been helpful, I guess, in dealing with people. And I'm a litigator, so in just kind of, working with a variety of people. So I think the whole Auburn experience and that being a good part of it was beneficial.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And thank you for your service in the Navy.
Oh, sure.
So after the station was put together and you had the station manager and all the people on the, like, behind-the-scenes side, how were you able to get DJs involved? Was it all that one meeting, or was it something that you had to more, like, seek out specific people?
Well, we had that first initial meeting at the October, so that was probably 4 or 5 months before the station went officially on the air. And there was only a couple people, as I mentioned, with radio experience. And so the idea was to form then as though we had a station going forward. And so people were doing auditions to be DJs and just kind of learning almost without the station being in existence, kind of like, okay, this is what we want to do. And Jimmy Carter's program director really kind of helped, set that up initially, and working with Renee. Then I figured out a way that we could buy some jingles without telling people we were spending money on jingles. And there was a group out of Texas that I think we knew through Jimmy Carter that we got all these jingles, which are still, I guess, out there on file, but, you know, the WEGL-FM, Auburn University.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stuff. And then Jimmy got one for himself out of that called the Chris Carter Show. Yeah, I think he was the only DJ that had a jingle that actually said Chris Carter, which was his name he used on the radio. So, beyond that point, so we had a pretty good group working into it. But really, from that point forward, it's Renee and the team generally that really kept the influx of people coming. But the thing about it is, when you had successful radio right from the beginning, people really wanted to participate. It's kind of like, whoa, listeners, we got a radio station. And there were invitations for meetings. Like, I think Don mentioned there was something in the Plainsman that he responded to be on the radio staff. So, I was really out of it at that time. But like Renee and the others who followed him, Dave Gamble, who's president of our alumni association, was a station manager. I mean, we just had a lot of good talent and energy that moved the station forward in those early days and really continued, like I hope, we get our foot in the door and we find ways to improve the station, the equipment, and everything else. And they just really took that baton and ran with it. So,
That must have been an amazing feeling to put all that work into creating something that so many people wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, very, very fulfilling.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up for our hour with some thank yous. Thank you so much to our guests this episode. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come and talk with us. Thank you to the History Department and our faculty advisor, Dr. Schultz. Thank you to Weagle for 53 phenomenal years of broadcasting. And thank you to the listeners for 53 years of tuning in. We'll see you next time at 8 a.m. next Thursday for our last episode of the season. Goodbye.
Bye now.
You've been listening to It's All History to Me, the show dedicated to exploring the people, places, and ideas of our past. Be sure to tune in next Thursday at 8 a.m. for more. But for now, keep it here on Weagle 91.1.
See you next time.